In this episode, we play a game of Say What?
I look like a doctor in a bathroom mirror.
And I am not me.
Or am I?
Enjoy.
Welcome to the show. It's the best podcast that we know. We are glad to have you here. Let our voices massage your ears. It's free and it's online. It's an hour of your time. So welcome to the Brother Stream Show. Welcome to the Brother Stream Show.
Hello. I'm Simon Streep.
I'm Dill Streep.
And I'm Andrew.
And I think we need to get something out of the way straight away. My life has been changed fundamentally forever because Andrew Kerr finally has a new sound setup.
Oh, hooray! Mazel tov, Simon.
You're sounding so nice, Andrew Kerr. What is what's the trick to your sweet sounding voice today?
Well, I'm actually not using the sound card. I just had a lot of honey and some sherry, and my voice really loosened up since the last time.
Is that the trick? Honey and sherry?
I think so. And those like little black sweets.
Yeah, that's what we call them. That's the official name.
The name is unrepeatable. I mean, if you give us enough sherry, we'll probably believe that it is just your sweet voice that's doing the trick and not the fact that you're finally not recording your audio through a cheese grater. It is is wondrous to hear you.
You never told me that I shouldn't record it through a cheese grater. So that's on you.
Look,
Andrew will be the one who finds the cheese grater plug-in and sticks it on his vocal at the end.
It's true. So behind the scenes, we've gone through the extra effort of getting Andrew Kerr a better sound setup, but he doesn't really know what he's doing on his side. So it's probably perfectly plausible that he's going to record this whole thing and then just send us like the sound of his computer like whirring in the background, like that fan static, and be like, here we go.
My computer does do that. I'm hoping that it's not being picked up. Literally, you can hear my computer breathing.
Is it one of those
exacerbated?
Is it one of those things where you kind of worry that at some stage it's just going to start floating off the ground when you take off? People will
possibly,
jump on it, form part of the Elon Musk space program.
I think it's less likely that that happens and more that it just doesn't turn on one day. And when we have these mad, frantic, it's almost 8 p.m., let's get into a Zoom meeting, and I'll go, not only can I not get my mic or video to work, but my computer's not on.
Well, until that day, we'll enjoy the fact that you're in the podcast. But it's been quite an interesting month, hey? Another month of lockdown and there's some big news all around. I'm dying to know about your news still. Tell us about the move.
Well, I've managed to move, so any Merrills who were listening to the last two quarantine podcasts might have heard that I was destined to move house, and then lockdown kind of thwarted those plans. Oh, woe is me. So then there was a little bit of a lift on that, and we jumped at the opportunity and moved our entire lives in an afternoon, which is always fun when you realize that you can actually achieve that.
Yeah.
That's incredible,
so
actually.
We're in our little new place in Musenberg.
And you seem to be doing quite well there because we can see, obviously, the listeners at home can't see into your room, but us sitting on this video chat, we can. And it looks like you've gotten to the stage where you've put things in cupboards. I think you've deliberately left your cupboard door open so that we can see, I'm unpacked, nothing to see here. I've unpacked my stuff.
It's true. You get bored of just white and beige backgrounds in video chats. I thought I'd leave cupboard doors open for a bit of like, ooh, what's going on back there?
I like it.
In case you get bored of my face, at least you can see Scrabble in the background.
Yeah, I mean, I am kind of intrigued by what are the things that you put at the very, very top of that cupboard?
I think those are puzzles.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Puzzles that you're not planning to do anytime soon. Because that's a commitment of whatever this is, I'm not going near that for at least the next time I move.
Yeah. And also there's ones behind those ones. I mean, you know, those are never going to get done.
The only puzzle that Dylan's done is fitting the puzzle boxes into the cupboard in a way that they fit.
Very good.
That's true. So we have moved to Musenberg and I feel like I've slowly started becoming more like the rest of the Musenberg folk.
Oh, no, that's not necessarily a good thing.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I walk around on the flay.
Okay.
That's a thing that us Musenberg people talk about a lot, the flay.
Yeah.
One morning, I even walked to a bakery and bought a fresh loaf of bread.
Wow. Is it that really small bakery that's basically in like a cupboard?
Yes, it was that one. The thing is, I went in there thinking, I'll know what I'm doing. It's bread. How hard can it be? It turns out there's a lot more to artisanal breads than I was aware. So I looked at an overwhelming list of loaves.
Mm.
And when it got to my turn, I kind of said, do you have like a sourdough loaf? Thinking that's what people ask for. And he's like, mate, they're all sourdough. So I panicked and bought a ciabatta because I've heard of that.
I've been to that exact bread shop that you're speaking of, and it is a bit of like, it's like the creamery for breads, whereas it seems like anything is just going into those breads and like, this is the cornflake milk sourdough yes. that we have here.
What else is cool about my place is that Anakin, our cat, now has a garden.
Okay, that's good.
To run around in. He also has a wall to jump over and freak us out that he's never going to come back. But so far, he always has, which is quite nice.
I mean, that is amazing because Muizenberg is full of feral people. So to just assume that'd be full of feral animals.
No, it's the animals are all the civilized ones.
Have you considered one of those electronic bracelets that, I mean, necklaces that go around the neck and give him a little zap when he ventures too far?
I don't want to take parenting tips from you, Kerr, right at this point in my life. Save that for Simon, I believe.
Listen, Megan hasn't left the driveway, so that's all I'm saying.
The thing with Muizenberg is that something happens to someone when they move there. And it's too early to see where this is going to happen to you, Dylan, because you've only been there for a month and a bit now. Is that essentially people move there and seem to not really like to venture out there. It's like once you're there, you're there. Someone goes, oh, do you want to come somewhere in the, you know, 10 kilometers away from Muizenberg? No, thank you. There's nothing outside of Muizenberg that anyone can offer me. I don't want to do that.
I can see that becoming the case. However, lockdown has been the perfect time for that.
It's true.
Because I'm not being invited elsewhere anyway. So I get to have all those feelings, but not have to carry them out. But you're not 100% right there. People do venture from Muizenberg. They just go deeper south. So we've been enjoying long walks and attempted runs to Cork Bay, Fishhook, but anything like up the other way, it's like, oh, what, into the city? Never.
To me, what sums up Muizenberg, because our office for work used to be there before it got dispersed into everyone's homes, and that is, what sums it up for me is that one day someone came to the office door, and now we look like we are probably an internet cafe, even though we're an animation studio. I can understand anyone mm-hmm. coming to the door and thinking, oh, I can go here to go on the internet. But this guy came to the door and said, hi, I was wondering if I could get any reggae from you.
And of course, Jake said, yes, of course.
Maybe he wanted more like the philosophy of reggae from you guys.
Possibly. It's also possible you're some sort of spy, and that was just like the beginning of one of those codes. Like, do you have the reggae? Yes. And then you say, yes, I do. Come in, Aretha Franklin. And then some sort of thing happens.
Any other big news in this trio?
Well, I mean, besides from your move and Andrew having a tasty mic, which, to be fair, Andrew, you've said hardly anything this podcast. It's being squandered on you. Squandered, Kerr.
I feel like I don't want to overwork it so early on. It's like an engine. You've really got to run it in, you know. Don't go over 60 for 2,000 Ks. Yeah. So I'm just taking it easy.
Fair enough.
It's like when people got a new Gunn and Moore cricket bat and insisted on just tapping a cricket ball up and down all day.
It's going to work. But as Dill alluded to, yes, things have changed in the Simon household. My wife and I have officially had our son. I know last podcast we said he was on the way. Good old Sawyer. And Sawyer has arrived.
Yay!
And it's lots of fun. I ended up experiencing the very rare thing, and that is a lockdown within a lockdown. because when we went to the hospital, it became very apparent very quickly that because of the whole pandemic, they weren't really wanting people to kind of go in and out of the hospital. So in a normal situation, what would happen is you'd go to the hospital, child would be born, and then you'd probably, you know, be there for most of the day, but you wouldn't stay the night and everything. But I ended up in a hospital for 4 nights. It was totally a lockdown-ception.
That is a lockdown-ception. Yeah, I was just thinking, if this was 2010, people would have jumped onto that with, that's lockdown-ception.
Yeah, but 10 years later, it's still a good enough joke for me. There's a major pro, though, to being in a hospital for 4 days, besides the fact that obviously you get more bonding time with the child and wife. And the major pro is hospital food. Now, Dylan... You like a good bargain.
I thought you'd say you spend quite a bit of time in hospital. I mean, I'd have said that the major pro is that you spent 4 days in the hospital and you weren't, you know, in ICU for some reason.
That is true.
It's a good time to spend time in the hospital when you're healthy.
Yeah, I guess so.
But I do like a good bargain.
You do like it. And I want to reveal this to you. 30 rand a meal.
That is good.
I was there for 3 nights. Ate about 8 meals, spent about 240 rand. I mean,
very nice.
Get out of town. Where is that possible? What's nice about this is I'm probably closer to the hospital than I am to the McDonald's that's down the road.
can you get Uber Eats from the hospital?
I don't know. But I'm certainly going to try it.
But now I remember many, many, many moons ago on a podcast, you were talking about how good this one McDonald's meal was because it was so reasonably priced, even though you didn't enjoy the food. It was like some Boerewors burger or something, or it had some barbecue sauce on it that you hated, but you were like, but the price is so good, so I'll just get it anyway. Is that the same thing you find with hospital food? I mean, you've come out running with it's a good price. You haven't mentioned the actual food.
No. Fortunately enough, I can definitely attest to the fact that the hospital food is very tasty. It was a nice variety. I wasn't there long enough to get any repeats. unless you count the puddings as repeats, because it did repeat the jelly, and the jelly wasn't perfect. It had some of that skin that you don't really want to get in a jelly, but I'll let that slide because they've probably made
because it's a jelly.
Very good, Andrew. I feel like I need to make an apology to you specifically.
Okay,
the previous podcast we talked a lot about the first name of our child, and it was going to be Sawyer, and it has been Sawyer, and that's, you know, that's official. But what we weren't quite sure yet at that time was the second name. And it came down to two names. And those two names were Timothy and Andrew. And unfortunately, Timothy won.
That is amazing.
Wow.
And you brought another Tim into Streep.
That's true. We didn't have enough. I thought, let's add a third.
That's madness. I would have thought that would be right out. Just based on the surplus of Tims in your close vicinity.
Well, now I don't feel so bad because I thought it
because
would,
Megan's second name was going to be Simon.
Because I thought it would be appropriate to mark the event of a child in some way. Yeah. And I don't have the same musical ability as you guys, so I didn't write a song. And I also don't have any energy or
well, that's true,
or anything else. So I wrote a limerick.
Okay.
But unfortunately, the limerick didn't come out as a very positive limerick.
Okay.
So here we go. There once was a young boy called Sawyer. He was born in a hospital foyer. Well, it may not be true. The service was crappy. He wasn't that happy. In fact, he's appointed a lawyer.
That's beautiful.
It is beautiful. I think I'm going to type it out and put it on his wall.
The old, the thing of it not necessarily being true, I'm just going to go out on a limb here. I don't think a lot of those limericks are true.
What?
It's too convenient. The rhyming structure.
Kerr, you were one of the people that asked me, like almost straight away when I said that Sawyer was born, you asked me the baby's weight.
Yeah.
And it seems like that's a very common question, and I just don't really understand it. Why is everyone obsessed with knowing the weight of babies when they come out? I've had a baby. I don't even remember what his weight was now. I wouldn't be able to recall it very easily. Are people like stacking up weights against other weights? I mean, surely you only have one frame of reference as to whether that's a appropriate weight or inappropriate weight for the baby to be. Was it more or less than the child I had? And if you haven't had a child, you probably aren't asking about weights. You're probably just saying, what's the child's name? That's all I care about. So explain yourself, Kerr.
Andrew is a big board games guy. I think he's developed one in his past. Maybe it's like a Top Trumps kind of thing. He's just making Top Trumps cards of all of his friends' babies so he can play them against each other.
I thought it was like a kind of in like a weigh-in for a fighting match. You know, see what class they see what class they would be in. No, I don't know. I think let's be honest here. I didn't care about the baby's weight. Claire was interested in the baby's weight.
That is very honest.
So did she say, Andrew, ask him about the weight. Andrew, ask him about the baby's weight.
That is exactly how it went.
Interesting. And was she satisfied with the answer? I mean,
well, I think then she, you know, then she could determine that the baby was probably earlier than expected.
And, okay.
You know, a woman's intuition.
I have no, I don't want to say I have no interest in your baby's weight, but I had no sharp instinct to ask you the baby's weight. And I'm ruling that down out of the three of us to the fact that I don't already have a kid. So yeah. I don't have that kind of thing to compare to. Does that mean that the first person to have ever had a child wasn't asked the weight by anyone else?
Oh, I mean, that's probably more than likely that's true. What a lucky man that was. In fact, the first person to ever have a child, the question was probably like, what the hell is that? How'd that come out of there? The weight was the last thing on their minds.
Would you rather?
Welcome to a very, very special edition of Would You Rather. Simon, Andrew, and all the Merrills out there, this is going to be huge. It's the lockdown version of Would You Rather.
Exciting.
Now, I must come clean. These are taken from a YouTube channel called Love and Junk.
Mm-hmm.
And if you would like to check out what these, I think they're a husband and wife, what they would rather do in lockdown, then go onto YouTube and search Love and Junk there. But I just skimmed their questions because they were very interesting. I feel like we could play.
I like this.
The rules are simple. I'm going to ask some would you rathers. They're going to be slanted towards life in quarantine. And then there will be points awarded to those who guess what I would rather out of the two options.
Perfect.
So let's go with the first one. Would you rather never eat in a restaurant again or never see a movie in a theater again? Discuss.
Wow, that's a tough one. I was thinking about movies today, actually, because it's about a month and 8 days. I don't know, I just said the word about, but then I was very accurate. I was incredibly accurate in my estimate.
can't do that.
It is a month and 8 days until my birthday. And I was so excited because last year, the Lion King remake came out basically on my birthday, or at least the day after. And this year, the new Christopher Nolan film, Tenet, was going to be coming out around about that same time. And I was so amped to kind of get a little birthday crew together, go watch a fun movie. And now that's not really going to be able to happen, more than likely. So at this stage, the one that is compelling to my heart the most is probably the movie one. But also, I know how much my wife likes to find Dan. So
another cracking reference from 2010. Nice.
Thanks. So I kind of feel like maybe, you know, restaurants are probably also a good thing. What about something like a really fancy Prestige, which is doing both?
I don't know if you could say the Prestige is doing both, is it?
Well, it's more of a movie thing.
It is,
I would say.
But they eventually will get so desperate that they probably will be like, no, come, we're going to do... why is it whenever I try to think of a fancy meal, I always think chicken a la king, even though that is like not at all.
I know exactly why.
It's the king of chickens.
Because it's got some French in it.
I think it's because as a kid, I was like, oh, well, the king part means this must be food for royalty. That is why.
I saw that there's a drive-in opening in Cape Town again.
We've got loads of KFC and McDonald's drive-ins, because this isn't a new thing.
What are they called? Drive-in movies? What are they called?
No, they're called drive-ins.
And I think it was like 250 Rand a car for a small car. Mm-hmm. And then if you have additional passengers, it's like $100 a person. So they've taken like a cool thing from the past and then just made it modern pricing.
That's worse than modern pricing.
It's terrible for the environment.
To be fair, Kerr, they wouldn't take an old thing from the past and then charge whatever that really old pricing would have been, because then it would be like 10 cents to go watch a film. And then you'd still That's be able true. To buy knickknacks, popcorn, and take out a home loan.
I think it's the restaurants. I mean, like, you go to restaurants way more than you go to the movies.
Oh, you don't know who you're talking to.
Okay, most people. But that's true. I need to think about Dylan. But I think Dylan likes to go to restaurants. I'm trying to read him here. He's giving me absolutely nothing.
He's like, that's just because my video froze. just on drive-ins, isn't the sound quality going to be just dreadful at a drive-in?
Well, I think these days you tune it into your radio. You're not just like opening a window and hoping for the best.
my only point of reference is like the Flintstones, where I think they bring up like a shell that's attached to a wire and clip it onto your wing mirror or something.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about old
Which
prices.
I think is going to be great.
Kerr, what is, if you're voting restaurants, what restaurant do you miss the most? What haven't you had your fix of since lockdown occurred? Because you strike me as someone who at the best of times doesn't leave the house. So I'm just a little bit confused as to why you're voting for restaurants.
Just from my personal experience, I think I would probably prefer to go to a restaurant than to a movie.
Okay.
Because you can watch a movie at home and you can take breaks and have coffee and tea. And go
but
to the
bathroom.
But
you cannot eat at home. It's never happened and it never will.
Recipe books do not exist. And you can definitely not order your favorite restaurant meal to your home.
Yes, that would be but if I go to a restaurant and I need to go to the toilet, I can leave my food and come back to it afterwards and I won't have missed anything.
Why can't you do that at home? Right?
You can't. No, I can do that at home, but you can't do that in a movie. If you go to the bathroom,
I love
miss the key scene.
You go to the bathroom and you come back and your wife's been eating your food and then you like whisper to her, tell me what I missed. Well, the creamed spinach was very good. Turns out it was the father. Okay, well, what do you think is the answer here?
I think you miss movies.
Yeah, I'd also say Dill probably miss movies the most, but it would be like so close. I think movies 51%, restaurants 49%. That's mass.
All right. Well, you've both put in your answers and you're both wrong.
Oh,
I would rather never see a movie in a theater again out of those two options, only because I've been toying with how much I dislike going to the theater for all the cons versus the pros. If they just took it off the plate, it would be like there'd be that little weird relief. You'd be like, okay, cool. I don't have to convince myself that this is worth it for all the snacking and the cell phones and the kicking of the seats and the talking and the kids who shouldn't be in the movie because their parents are bad. And I think I just prefer to go to a restaurant. Besides, I can never get a steak right.
Fair enough.
The next one. Would you rather work from home, but you have to wear full business attire, think suits, or work at the office, but you can wear whatever you want?
Wait, what? How is this even?
Yeah, you heard me.
I mean, I already do one of those normally. And the other
Which one?
Well, we kind of, at our office, we're pretty, I mean, as I said, it's in Muesenberg, so anything goes. So we
Ever wear Bacomo flower pants?
No, but I'm pretty sure no one would bat an eyelid if I did. So I reckon I would just vote for that. Who likes the idea of waking up? I mean, I hate working from home. I find it really annoying. The only nice thing about working from home is not necessarily having to wake up earlier so you can drive in to work. But
we're back on drive-ins.
Yeah. But the benefit of wearing a suit so I could do that all... Nah, I'm voting squarely on wearing whatever I want to the office. Unless there's like a catch I don't know and you're about to tell me, yeah, Simon, but your office is 2 hours away from your home.
No, I'm not telling you that. Andrew?
I mean, I think it really depends on the job. So, you know, working from home, you know, like if you're working, if you're in a job that will work from home, wearing a business suit doesn't really put you out that much. But you know, if you're in a job where you're a shark cage diver and you're out there in your Speedo, it's gonna be problematic. You know, you're gonna be too casual for your job. Or let's say you're fixing, you know, electricity pylons in your slip slops. Right. I'm not happy about that.
Is a shark cage diver in their cage, is that their office or are they working from home?
I don't think they live in the cage. I think it would be the shark's home.
Well, then the shark would need to be wearing a business suit.
Yeah, I'd love to see that.
All right, Kerr, what was your answer?
I think that you would prefer to work in an office with casual clothes.
Okay, you've both said that, and you're both right.
Yeah.
I feel like this question maybe applies to the person who loves working from home, like cannot get enough of it. Oh, don't make me work in the office. It's the worst. I'll wear that suit. But as we quickly found out, none of the three of us is that person, nor I think will any of our Merrills be.
It's plausible that that person works at a cinema and they've just adopted your approach, Dill. Like, oh, I don't want to curtain anymore.
It is possible. Okay, I've got the third one here, and I already know what Andrew will say just straight up, but let's go for it anyway. Would you rather give up watching YouTube versus would you rather give up watching Netflix?
Oh, that's really good.
I don't really have to say anything here.
That is actually technically a hard one, because I reckon the stuff that you watch on Netflix, you probably could find a lot of it on other places, a lot of other channels, whereas the stuff that's on YouTube, it's not like people are making torrents of like Retin Link or something like that. I don't know why I said Retin Link. I think I was just trying to impress Andrew. I've never really watched a Retin Link video in my life.
He does not look impressed.
It's because I mentioned piracy, and piracy is a crime. I think that's tough, because for me, YouTube is like a snack. You go to YouTube for just a little snack on a little bit of content, nothing too long, just something to fill some time. Whereas you go to Netflix for a meal.
It turns into a meal, and you're so glad that you're at the restaurant.
These are all the same question.
Kerr, what do you love so much about YouTube?
I love that it is free. I love that that I can choose what bandwidth I can watch on. I love that...
that's an interesting one to love.
See, these are the things that you thought you'd hear.
I never thought I'd ever ask.
So I like that I can watch something incredibly professionally made on YouTube. I like that I can watch American like random talk shows, and I can watch somebody fixing up a motorcycle engine for like an hour and a half. You don't get that on Netflix.
For a good reason.
He's got a good point, though. You don't get it, because I've watched plenty of people fixing appliances on YouTube.
Exactly.
And so far, haven't run into any series on Netflix.
I think I'm going to have to give up YouTube. But I'm going to give up Netflix. I can find that stuff elsewhere. Eventually, Disney Plus will come to South Africa.
But that's what you think, Simon. We have to do what Dylan thinks.
That's what you think.
Yeah. And but I also think that you would give up Netflix.
I think Dill. The thing is, Dill is quite a late adopter to Netflix, so it might be like asking him to give up like quite a nice new pair of shoes or something. Where he's like, I'm still enjoying these shoes. I still want to walk around the block and go to places in these shoes.
What a poor comparison! I have no affinity to shoes.
But yeah, I'd say Dylan's going to cling onto Netflix for a while, so he's going to give up YouTube. Oh, I already feel like I've made the wrong call, but I'm just going to have to stay with it.
You have made the wrong call. Kerr gets another point. For those of you keeping score at home, that's two for Kerr and one for Simon.
Incredible.
All right, let's do another.
When the rules are clearly defined, I thrive.
Would you rather grow all of your own fruit and vegetables, or would you rather bake all of your own breads and rolls?
Oh, bake all of the breads and rolls. I mean, growing vegetables, what a pain. What an absolute pain. I mean, you've got to wait for ages. You can bake a loaf in an afternoon.
I'm so happy
if
I'm
getting
a point.
If you want to grow a carrot, a measly carrot, that'll take you a few weeks.
You hold your breath there. We've literally just planted carrots.
Yeah. Yeah, and you're waiting, aren't you? Did you have carrot stew tonight?
Well, I've got some carrots in the fridge.
Yeah, but you didn't grow them.
It depends when, like, the cutoff time is, when it begins. You could always stock up and then start growing your own.
So this is where...
I think for this one, you have to depend... You have to say that, like, you just have a stock of the one or the other.
This is where I think Andrew has failed to sort of bear in mind the context from which the question is being asked. So the person who's just asked this question has very recently moved into a place that has a garden that for the first time for a while will allow him to grow fruit and vegetables, and he's probably excited to start growing fruit and vegetables. Whereas we know, once again, based on context from the last two podcast episodes, that his bread making skills have left a lot to be desired, which means that more than likely my friend Dylan's going to give me a point because I'm going for fruit and veg.
100%.
Yeah.
This man knows how to grow a baby and he knows how to grow a fruit and veg.
That's such rubbish.
That's rubbish.
Yeah, I would never have thought you'd give up
so
on bread
close
so
close to
quickly.
Taking a point off for that, Andrew. So you are on a razor's edge.
Okay, all right.
I'd like them rules now, Kerr.
That means that we are all tied at two, which makes this last one very, very, very dramatic. Would you rather give up board games or give up video games?
Ooh. I'm going to have to ask you to define board games, Mr. Hitchens.
Alrighty.
Would you say a puzzle is a board game?
Never.
Okay, never. All right.
I would never say that, not in 100,000 years.
Because it's not. It's a puzzle.
But list more things.
Because this is difficult, because in the period that I've known you, Dole, I would say the most consistent game you've played is Battle City and Circus Charlie.
No Stop Run.
And the most consistent board game you've played is Battlestar Galactica, neither of which you would necessarily play by yourself, so you'd normally be doing them within a greater context. So the question
you
is,
you think I didn't play Circus Charlie on my own to get that good?
Yeah, well, you know, it's maybe baking bread and Circus Charlie are two things that you need to give up. But I do think that more recently you would have not played Circus Charlie by your own. I'm kind of looking at the last 5-10 years, what you've probably been playing and the context you've been playing them in. I'd imagine that maybe your sister and her husband might be quite board game people. They give me that kind of...
My sister is. Her husband is staunchly not.
Oh, no. Tony, no!
So you're kind of half right there. Just on that topic, though, briefly, it is my sister's birthday as of recording today. So big happy birthday
happy
to
birthday.
Rox.
Happy birthday, Roxy. All right. So, I don't know. Kerr, you speak.
Yeah, I think that Dylan is a bit of a social butterfly, and you don't get the same sort of interaction with people on a video game that you do in a board game.
Look
a board
at his
game
face.
Is about, a board game is about collecting people around the table.
A social butterfly. Have you met me?
Just let me carry on. A social butterfly in a sort of introvert
this
social butterfly.
One of the
butterfly.
Worst character descriptions I've ever heard.
If a social butterfly was also an introvert, so you know, it's bringing people around the table, it's having a whiskey, it's having a beer, it's not having a LAN party, it's not bringing the computer, which may or may not turn on the next time you switch it on.
Yeah. Andrew, are you forgetting how much he loves the game Scooter's Tragic Arsehole?
What? Did you also get the cheat codes for that? Unlock adult mode. That is an Oak Ridge only joke.
Yeah.
For those who grew up in Oak Ridge. That's funny. Okay, well, I actually hoped that these questions would maybe have been more discussions around ourselves and then go over to me, but because I thought the board games thing would be interesting for her. But I will just tell you a quick board game anecdote.
Please do.
My wife and I have been playing a little bit of... it's a video game anecdote. Complete opposite.
Twist.
We've been playing a bit of video games in lockdown. She's a big fan of Skyrim, and I don't even know what kind of game that is. A quest game, I believe. some kind of quest.
Could be, yeah.
You run around doing things. And it's very expansive and people love it and it's really popular. I, on the other hand, have been playing the South Park Stick of Truth, which is also a quest game where you run around and build your character up. But sometimes she'll be on like a real hectic mission where she needs to slay a dragon before she can adopt a young orphan or whatever and turn to me and I'm learning how to throw farts. So you could say my video game skills are actually coming up a little bit.
Nice.
You know, since Scooter's tragic arsehole.
Did I say social butterfly? I think I meant social butt.
All right. I'm going to vote... I mean, for me, I'd probably sooner give up computer games, even though I must admit it's been really nice playing computer games during a lockdown because you kind of still get to chat to friends and play a game at the same time. But I think board games are a little bit more communal, something nice about the physicality to them. And I think Dill probably thinks the same. I reckon I'm going to say that you would vote to ditch the computer games and stick with board games.
Cool. Kerr.
It's boring, but I'm going to agree. Yeah.
Well, this is a turnout for the books. You're both wrong.
What?
I don't enjoy this new wave of board games where everyone's spent all their money on board games that I can't get a grip of and understand how to play and spend a whole evening not knowing why my gnome didn't dig through the right door.
What I like about that answer is you've also just like hurt Andrew severely. You've like stabbed him in the heart with that answer. It's beautiful.
No, well, he said we're both wrong, but he's wrong. He's wrong.
So at the end of that, it's actually a tie, which is quite nail biting, I would say.
I like
good,
it.
Good podcast listening, I imagine.
Fun can be found in streeping around.
I've been finding that when I go to work, because I've been working from the office from about halfway through May.
Yeah.
I get there, I've got the mask on, I've got sanitizer, hand sanitizer.
Mm-hmm.
And then I kind of have to get it on my hands because it's by the one door and then like elbow my way into the bathroom and like almost scrub up and then I catch myself in the mirror and think, this isn't a bad look for me. Maybe I can go into healthcare. What do you think?
I think that's good. It reminds me of something that happened to me at the hospital. So Christine was having a cesarean section because our baby was breech. And so that meant that I got to go into the room where you put on the doctor's scrubs.
Oh, nice.
And you put on the kind of the blue outfits and everything. I obviously had my face mask already. And while I was in this room, I was kind of putting on the scrubs that had been given me. Someone else walked into the room and started asking me questions. They're like, hey, where'd you get the scrubs from? Because I need them for what I'm about to do. And
hey, how much do you weigh? Hey, how much do your baby weigh?
And I assumed that this guy was also like a father-to-be or something like that, that was going to be watching the birth of his son in the operating theater. So I was kind of like, oh, someone just told me where to get these, whatever. And he was like, oh, okay, you know. And it didn't really go anywhere because I couldn't really help him. I thought someone else, you know, higher up needed to help him. But he had obviously assumed that I was a doctor because it later turned out that he was the pediatrician. Like, he was there for the same birth, actually, that I was there for. And so in that weird moment, I realized I could have Mr. Beaned it. I could have totally walked out of having put on my scrubs, gone into any operating theater and gone, all right, let's go. Because he just assumed that I knew what I was doing and that I was totally a doctor. Isn't that scary?
Yeah, I think you've got to have a confident scalpel and then you're good. Like, that's all you need.
Did you find when wearing scrubs amongst other people wearing scrubs that you were prone to quick, witty one-liners and comebacks? Much like that show, Scrubs.
I wish. Andrew, I was recently at a quiz, an online quiz, that was hosted by a mutual friend of ours. And I was quite excited when your name popped up as one of the guests. Because I thought, oh, Andrew's going to be part of this quiz. It said Andrew Kerr. And the person...
He's an imposter.
Person in front of the camera... was not Andrew Kerr. It was someone completely different.
Yes.
Whose name, though, happens to be Andrew Kerr, although he pronounces it Andrew Carr. Which I is mean, probably, really. If you are going to pronounce one of the names differently, it's probably better that you pronounce Kerr differently, because Andro or something like that's not going to quite make sense. But what I find interesting about this, Andrew, is that you share the same name, you share the same friendship circles, but you two apparently are not actually friends. Have you deliberately, like, kept your distance from him? What's
great here is this is the first time our Andrew Kerr is hearing that they're not friends.
Yeah,
he assumed they were.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what he said about me. But look, I think it's... You know, it's one of those, you know, in the sci-fi movies where you have the matter and the antimatter,
yeah,
and you don't want them to meet. I think we might have an explosion on our hands if we would ever be in the same room.
I see. So it's
wait a minute. That's Andrew Kerr in an Andrew Kerr. That's Andrew Kerrception.
I hope you know that in solidarity with the real Andrew Kerr, myself, Tim, Rich, and I think even Fritz all changed our names to Andrew Kerr just to make the group
nice.
More...
Nice. Did you all do different spellings, different pronunciations there?
Yeah.
Andrew Kerr. Andrew Kerr.
No, I will say that Andrew Kerr is a lovely man, and he's doing good work, and I have no ill will against him, except the fact that he pronounces his name incorrectly.
That's good.
Guys, it's a bathroom topic.
Oh,
so
my goodness.
I'm back at work, mm-hmm. four days a week, and that's irrelevant, but the point of the story is...
It's irrelevant and awesome. How'd you wangle that?
I get paid less. So we have a bathroom at work,
yeah,
and there is a light switch on this bathroom,
mm-hmm.
but... There is also a light sensor in the bathroom.
Okay.
So the light switch has to be on. Mm-hmm. And then essentially when you go in the bathroom, the light turns on, right?
Okay.
That's the theory. In practice, there's about a 5-second delay.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no windows to this bathroom. It's in a completely interior bathroom. So essentially, you force open this quite difficult to open door,
yeah,
and then you slam it shut. And then you are just flailing around in the dark for about 5 seconds before it like clicks on. But unfortunately, it's got quite an old diffuser built into it, like one of our products, but like really ancient. And there's something a little bit wrong with it, and it makes an enormous when the light switch is on. So you're essentially standing in the dark waiting for this terrifying flash of light and noise.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's anything that makes you want to not go to the bathroom, it's that.
Well, I mean, the problem is you probably hear that and then poop your pants anyway.
Say what?
Whoa, what was that? Was that a new jingle? It must mean it's a new round. And by new round and new jingle, I mean, I found that really old jingle sitting in a folder somewhere and thought maybe we should build a round around it. So that's exactly what's happened. I have no idea whether we've ever played this round before, or maybe we did back in the early days. But this is Say What, and in this, I'm going to give you a quote. You're going to have to tell me who said it, and I'm always going to give you two options. So first up, we have Drew or Jim. That's right. These quotes are either by Drew Carey or Jim Carrey.
Jim,
it's a battle
Jeffries.
Of the Carreys.
Oh.
Who is going to win? All right. First up, we've got a couple of these, so settle in. I'm going to take scores. Some people don't like competition because it makes them work harder, better. Which Carrey was that?
I don't think Drew Carey's ever worked hard or thought about it.
Yeah, so, that guy's the epitome of riding on the coattails of better talent. if you think of an image of Drew Carey, it's him just sitting there at a desk being fed lines while the rest of them work their asses off.
And then every now and again laughing so hard he takes his glasses off and everyone's like, whoa, put those glasses back on.
To be fair, those are the most searched clips on YouTube.
So
I would have said that's a Jim Carrey line, because despite it looking like there's nothing really going on in his comedy, he's just kind of falling over and making a face. I think that he does work really, really hard, or at least did. I don't know what he's doing now. I think painting maybe. So I'm going to say that's a Jim Carrey quote, but it's from a while ago.
Alrighty then. Andrew, what do you think? And you're both wrong. None of you get a point. That was a Drew Carey quote.
Oh, I don't believe it.
Ah.
He definitely didn't write it. That was a Ryan Stiles quote that he used.
It was in a hat.
Here we go. Nothing's funny about someone who's successful.
Same two people.
Drew and Chad. Right.
Oh, man. I think nothing's funny about people who are successful.
No, about someone who's successful.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. I see where they're going with that. But they're both successful and they both claim to be comedians.
So
it's a bit tough. I'm going to go Drew, just because maybe you would have not wanted to go the one and then the other straight away.
I think I'm going on patterns here. I think it's Jim, and I think it's something that he's said in a more kind of, in his later years, he's more reflective.
Okay, all right. Well, I can tell you this, that Dylan gets a point. It was Drew Carey.
Context?
No, I've got no context for these quotes, and I never will.
That's fine.
Just have to enjoy them as they are. Do you guys have a favorite between Drew or Jim? Anyone that you're leaning more towards?
I think Jim has made me laugh and appreciate things more often than Drew. I did enjoy the Drew Carey show, although if I think back to it, I'm not sure I enjoyed him in it.
Yeah.
Even though, once again, his name was securely attached to it.
Yeah. I was going to say because of Whose Line, but actually, I'm not watching Whose Line for Drew.
Well, I really hope Drew Carey never listens to this podcast.
Him laughing at those women who try to do sound effects poorly is probably the funniest thing about Whose Line, even though it's like a real golden nugget. Like, there's plenty of laughs from the real talented comedians on there, but nothing is really as funny as him laughing at the woman going, choo-choo.
So true. All right.
So they both have their place.
That's good to hear. Either you're the one erasing or you're the one being erased.
Oh, that's Jim. That's all Jim. And he's talking about his art.
Got a Jim for Dill. What have we got for you, Kerr?
Yeah, I think it's Jim as well.
All right, and you both get a point.
Yay.
It's moving swiftly on. We talked about board games earlier. The first Monopoly game I played with my brothers, I hated losing so much, I just had to beat them. Now,
alrighty.
If there was ever a quote that is neither here nor there, but I think that's...
I mean, where on earth did you find these quotes?
How did that end up on a site as something that is inspiring or quirky that someone's ever said? They're so banal, that quote.
That sounds like the kind of quote that was made when people made their first ever websites. It was just like a bright pink background with like squiggly text. Yeah. And the whole site was like, my top 7 Drew Carey quotes.
Exactly.
I don't know if I've ever heard of Jim Carrey talking about a sibling before, so I'm not sure if he has any, let alone many brothers. But then again, as I say that, I'm thinking to an SNL sketch where a ton of different Jim Carreys are all playing his different actors, his different roles.
Mm-hmm.
And even though they clearly look like the cast of SNL, the skit was so realistic that it made me think that maybe he does have a bunch of siblings. Tina Fey makes a good Jim Carrey. So I want to say that it's Drew, that Drew had brothers.
Okay. Kerr, what are you going to say?
I have no idea. I'm going to make it interesting. I'm going to go Jim.
You're going to make it interesting and lose a point in the process. Dylan gets a point.
Yes.
It was true.
That is interesting.
And for the last one, we're going to say this. There's no way I can justify my salary level, but I'm learning to live with it.
Drew.
Jim.
No, Drew. I don't think Jim ever got a salary. He would have gotten like paid for movies. That's not a salary. That's like a lump sum. But Drew would have got a salary from all the shows.
The thing is, you've been hoisted by your own petard.
Why do I keep having these petards?
Jim was on In Living Color, where he was paid a salary.
It's true.
And that was when this happened. Just a quick score check before we go to this nail-biting finish, this photo finish.
Yeah.
It's 3-1, correct?
It is 3-1. So you got nothing to lose. There's no way Andrew's winning this.
Yeah, I say it's Jim.
You are incorrect. It was Drew. But what was interesting is they both had very similar quotes about money, about them getting paid more than what they actually should be getting paid. There's a bonus one. This is where you can get a bonus point, actually, Kerr. If you get this right, actually, you can win the whole entire round. So,
That doesn't work.
Very interesting.
That doesn't make any sense.
It does. Very interesting.
So if he wins this, he can tie it.
It does. Remember, Dylan, the points don't matter.
Which Carrie said, in this world, I call the shots and I think I know best.
Is it Carrie Fisher?
No. Is that going to be your guess?
I call the shots and I think I know best. I think that's a confident Jim Carrey in his pomp and prime.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to make this interesting and go with Andrew so that he can't win. I think that's Jim. That reads Jim left, right, and center.
You're both wrong. Kerr was almost right. He was on the right track. It's actually Mariah Carey. So none of you got that right. All right, final say what? It's Rumpelstiltskin or Ramaphosa. Was this... I said, it's a Rumpelstiltskin or Ramaphosa. Was this quote said by the mythical fairy tale creature Rumpelstiltskin or the legendary South African president Ramaphosa? Okay. All magic comes with a price, dearie. Who's that by?
Oh, that's good.
Wait, did you say all cigarettes?
All magic comes with a price, dearie. Who have we got?
I think it's Ramaphosa, but the magic, the thing where he says magic is making me think Stiltskin.
Okay, all right. Doesn't it Stiltskin? Okay.
I'm going to agree with Dylan on this one.
You both get a point. All right. That's the thing about true love, dearie. It can slip through your fingers. It's the most powerful magic in the world. The only magic powerful enough to break any curse. It must be protected at all costs. Was that Rumpelstiltskin or Ramaphosa? What have we got?
These are really hard. These are really, really tough.
The whole quote could easily be either of them.
especially with Ramaphosa's recent golden spilling bill that he just produced.
All right, what we got?
The thing is, there's the repetition of that dairy thing. I'm trying to wonder if maybe that's a calling card of Stiltskin. So I'm going to go Stiltskin again on that one.
Okay.
Good. You want to make this interesting?
I think it's a new round. I'm going to keep it on Stiltskin.
Okay, you're both right. Last one. If necessary, we will impose a higher alert level in specific parts of the country to prevent a rapid increase in cases.
That's classic Stiltskin.
Oh, God. I'm crying. That's funny. I'll go Stiltskin on that one.
Cool.
Yeah, definitely Stiltskin.
Somehow you guys are going to ride for all three. That was Say What?
Oh, my gosh. I'm just listening outside. Is that the sound of the biggest storm we've had all year?
It could be.
Oh, no, wait.
The quiz.
All right, I've reached into my little box of pub quiz cards. No one has seen these before, not even I. The rules explain themselves as we go. Now, don't forget, this is everything to play for.
Can we not do the Jeopardy answer, please?
Can we not do the what?
The answer in a Jeopardy style. I've never watched Jeopardy. I have no idea what it's about. It's confusing me.
Okay. You have to answer with a date.
Oh, wait.
Okay, the first one, and this will be in the round pub quiz. Who was the founder of High Street's cosmetic chain, Body Shop?
Beep.
We've got a beep from Simon.
Elon Musk.
Elon Mascara.
Well, Musk is a scent. Could be.
Yeah, that's true. It's not that.
Beep. 1966 Hugo Boss.
It's not that either.
Beep.
The answer was Anita Roddick. You were never going to get it.
No, I don't think we
the
were.
The next question. Beyonce was the lead singer of which R&B band in the
beep.
Late 1990s?
Beep.
Oh, that's a Simon.
That is definitely Destiny's Child.
He's nailed it. He's beep. Got it word for word.
Oh, he didn't say a date. Yeah. March 3rd, Destiny's Child.
All right, question two. This one's coming to you in the category of pub quiz. In which European country would you find the Black Forest?
Beep. 4th of June, Germany.
That is correct, and the date was wrong. But yes, you can get a point. That's 1 point each for you Merrills checking out at home.
Wow.
Question four. This one comes to you from Pub Quiz.
Oh, nice.
What color is the pigment chlorophyll?
Beep. Beep.
Oh, now that was tough. I feel like that might have been Kerr.
I think it was me too.
Interesting.
I'm going to say the 2nd of July, green.
Oh, he's nailed it.
I was also going to say
he's
green.
Got another point.
Bloody latency in the internet.
Here we go.
Good band name.
If people wanted to write into this podcast, how would they do that?
Oh, they could do so on info@brotherstroop.com. Can I get a point for that?
Not at all.
Don't say a date.
In poker, and just quickly, this is in the category of pub quiz. In poker, what is the highest possible hand a player can have?
Beep, 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 beep.
Oh, 3, 4, 5, 6 buzzers from Simon.
Royal flush.
That's beep. Correct.
3rd of June, royal flush.
That rule isn't a rule, Andrew Kerr.
You just made... I thought it was not a rule.
I was being facetious.
Oh, I don't understand this quiz.
So, I believe in previous months, I've deducted points for wrong answers, which means that Simon is back up on 0 now.
Ooh.
Kerr is on 2. Don't check that. The next question, and this is the penultimate question.
Ooh.
In pub quiz.
I can win a pen.
The Grand National is held annually
beep.
At which horse race course?
Beep.
You guys don't even have separate buzzers. This is tough.
Yeah, I accidentally used Andrew's buzzer there. It's held at... Wait, what did you say there? The Grand...
No, repeat of the question.
No.
And you're lucky you can't...
You can get
reading.
A repeat, but it'll cost you 1 point.
I reckon it's held at the Antrim race course near Liverpool.
What the hell? Well, I believe that's correct. I don't know if we have adjudicators on hand to see how quickly he managed to type that into Google. But that was a real shocking moment in sports for me. Pulling Antrim and its near vicinity.
Are you going to let that stand? This
I am, yes.
Plagiarism. You are.
I am.
Well, just because I know that was first run in 1839 and it's a handicap steeplechase of official distance
you're
of about 4 months.
You're pushing your luck, little man.
Sorry, dearie.
Is he a jockey?
Alrighty. Let me just find a good one to end on, because now the score is 1 point for Simon, 2 points for Andrew.
Oh, so I could draw this. Steal that
you
pen could. Away from Andrew.
It would take a while.
Kerr, you better beep in quick, because he's going to be on that keyboard. I can already tell. This is it.
You can see
in,
my hands.
Pub quiz. In the Queen's Honours, what does the abbreviation OBE stand for?
Beep, 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 beep. Order of the British Empire.
Oh, that's incorrect, according to my card. First correct answer wins. Come on.
Beep. I don't know. Is that a correct answer that I don't know? It's correct that I don't know.
It's an answer. It's not the answer I have on the card. That would be interesting.
I'm going to resist the urge to Google it. Surely Kerr got some of those right.
Kerr got very close.
So, obligatory British Empire, ostrich British Empire, Orlando Bloom British Empire.
I mean, I feel obligated to give Andrew the point anyway,
no,
because I think this is wrong
to,
on the card.
Don't feel the need to obligate.
But the answer I have here is Officer of the Order of the British Empire. Surely well, that would be an Ubi.
Yeah, that's Ubi.
I'm giving Kerr half a point, and we're going to a special bonus round.
Oh, awesome.
Yay.
This is it. This one's worth 7 points.
Perfect.
Cool.
For which sport is Gary Ballance best known?
Beep.
Beep.
Simon.
I was going to say balance.
Fencing.
Incorrect.
Beep. Tennis.
Fast fire answers here.
Tennis.
Incorrect. Incorrect.
Beep. Beep. Rugby.
Sumo wrestling.
Beep. Football. Beep.
Incorrect,
badminton.
Simon. Incorrect.
Beep.
Incorrect.
Darts.
Incorrect.
Beep. Archery.
What's his name?
Beep. Circus Charlie.
Easier than this.
Beep swimming.
No, everyone
Beep
would
cricket.
Know the name
Beep
if
cricket.
He was famous for Circus
Beep
Charlie.
Cricket.
Beep cricket.
Sorry, Kerr. Did you say cricket?
I did.
I just said cricket.
I believe that we have a winner.
It's me.
It's Andrew
no,
Kerr
it's
with
me.
A whopping 9 points.
It's so hard to tell what latency.
I'm just Simon's very dodgy too.
No, record an alternate one because we'll check the latency later and just say that I
so
won.
Dodgy.
And then I definitely promise I won't edit just the one where I won. And all you know.
I don't think I'm going to do that, Simon. I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think it's going to happen. Andrew Kerr, you've won the quiz.
Thank you
well
so
done,
much.
Andrew.
Thank you. And I hope that normal quiz will resume soon.
Oh, so do I.
As yeah. well. Well, that's it for this month's episode of the Brother Streep Show. We will be returning very shortly with hopefully finally releasing Agony Uncles. That should be just around the corner. And we may even have another podcast special or pilot up our sleeve. So watch this space. But in the meantime, have a fantastic time.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.